Well, I know the law.
I know the law.
We'll make a way.
Situated in the center in the square in the heart of downtown Roanoke, Virginia, the Harrison Museum of African American Culture deftly showcases the African American experience with a focus on Western Virginia and the Blue Ridge, Roanoke region. Exhibits include traditional African tribal arts and historical interpretive displays chronicling the African American experience in the region throughout the past 400 years.
To my rescue, he knew what I was in need of before I even asked.
The Harrison Museum is a museum dealing with African American culture and African American history. And the purpose of it is to present that information to the public in general, also to be a means of resource for the local community and community at large.
Do you try and have a thematic thread with Roanoke?
It is important for us to be able to have that, to present local history, but it's also important for us to present history as it relates to the community, the region, and the nation at large when we have the opportunity to do so. It's also important to have it available for research, as well as being able to tell a story of what our ancestors went through to allow us to be where we are today.
So you're talking about going way back to Africa.
When the opportunity presents itself, yes. When there's information that's out there that can be exposed to the community, not just only the African-American community, but the community at large.
Yes.
When we're able to present artifacts that were developed in Africa or our ancestors who were brought over to Brazil, that's what the museum should be doing.
And I imagine that this would be a wonderful place for teaching history to the local school kids, black, white, whoever.
It is, and we do attempt to do that. Sometimes we have to provide our history as it is presented to us or available to us, which may not always be with SOL, but we look at the opportunity to provide history dealing with African Americans and Africans 365 days of the year.
For the black community, when you see the kids come here, do you see these epiphanous moments? Do you see these aha moments?
There are a lot of times when that happens because today's historical elements of education are not always relevant to what may be happening. We had a Underground Railroad exhibit here, and there were times when you would see a group of middle school kids, light bulbs come on and question why things were done that way and what was it all about and where were people going and were they actually in tunnels going underground. And when you explained to them and showed them the exhibit, they began to ask questions relative to what's going on and why were they doing that, and even questions relative to why the slave master did this or did that, specifically why children of slaves were not kept with their mothers but took names of their slave masters.
How about going forward in time, the 20th century? You know there are kids today that are clueless as to recent U.S. history here when segregation was a reality.
Well, today's children are a little bit more inquisitive. We will be talking about information, and you find today's kids will Google it to get more in-depth information, but we have to have the information here for them to be able to use the techniques and information available to them to find out more about it. It is a good lead-in to additional information.
It's a stimulus.
It is, very much so.
So tell us some of the cool things that you have here that you're most proud of that you would be sure to show somebody.
Well, I think the ability to bring in the exhibit, The Indivisible, which talks about the Native American and the African American and the relationship of the two nationalities and how important they were to each other. Then most recently, the Tobacco People exhibit, which is an exhibit at three locations here, the Harrison Museum, the Todman, and the Old Winston Link, which talks about different aspects of the tobacco product, but also as it relates to African Americans and Africans, that it allows that relationship to be shown from Africa to the Americas. That exhibit is really unique in what the photographer Sarah Hazelgrove put together. And then we have another exhibit called The Spirit That Knows Beauty, which is not only talking about the African art and African artifacts, but the beauty of it and how we today use it in our home and how some of the colors in African art and African artifacts affects us today.
And you're showing palpably how you can trace those roots, like you said, East Africa and Western Africa.
Yes.
And distinctive differences.
It is, and the craftsmanship used by those individuals from the continent of Africa and how it has influences on some of us today.
Can we take a walk over there and see some of things?
Yeah, those pieces of work are part of Mr. Demerson's personal collection.
Okay, so it's on loan then.
Yes, on loan to us, yeah. And he used to be a curator with us, and in the process collected art over the years by him going back and forth to the continent of Africa.
One of the objects that really gets you, that touches you.
Well, all of them touch me, but one piece that quite often people don't pay attention to is a piece that he has as part of a funeral, what we call the funeral today. But in actuality, it looks like a bench, but it's not a bench. It is where we put people in caskets. They put people on this wood carved piece that was carved out of a tree trunk. And it represents a funeral bed.
Oh, wow. Is that a real piece or is that
an authentic piece?
Wow.
Yeah, and then we have the different pieces that he's presented here. We have head mask pieces. We have pieces from Brazil. We also have pieces that represent different cloths that were done, Kente Kente cloths, and we have different things that are here now.
Talk colors for a little bit. Make it tangible for us.
The colors that he have here are really earth tone colors that are part of the process. And then you have beads that are collected. But most of the colors are from the natural habitat that the natives that produce these pieces and develop the colors that they have. The greens and all there come from the browns, and of course, and the tones that they different have. That they
you were
different.
Alluding to earlier, the cultural affinity today
yes.
for those colors.
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's fascinating.
When you look at some of the colors, we have pieces of furniture here that have brown tones in them, and you think about how those how we select colors today are colors that are from the natural aspect of nature. And these individuals who produce them use those colors to enhance their work.
Let's talk for a moment about medical history, 19th century, 20th century here, because that is very powerful, palpable. A doctor creating his own hospital out of necessity.
Well, the medical community that we have here is talking about the first African-American hospital that was created here in Roanoke. Originally, doctors here did not have a hospital to take their patients to, so a group of doctors purchased a building and converted it over into a 10-bed hospital. Prior to that, Dr. Medley converted his home into a couple of rooms that were used as medical facilities.
And I was told that one of the early black hospitals was named in memorial for a black physician who died because he was refused access to a white hospital.
Dr. Burrell, who the hospital, Burrellmore Hospital, was named after, was one of the original doctors who helped develop this 10-bedroom hospital. He became so ill that the facility they had here was a 10-bedroom hospital, could not handle his medical needs. He, in turn, wanted to go to the white hospital but was denied access there. And so his wife and his attending physician put him in a boxcar to transport him to Howard University in Washington, D.C. to attain medical service. But he was too ill to be treated to save his life. When the doctors found out about that he had passed away, they in turn named the 10-bedroom hospital after him. But that 10-bedroom hospital was not sufficient to handle the needs of the African-American community. So they began the process, along with the Women's Auxiliary, to purchase an existing building and convert that building over into a hospital facility. That facility, along with some of the white doctors that were friends of the black doctors, became the local hospital for the African-American community here in Roanoke, as well within a certain geographical area, probably an hour to an hour and a half, maybe 2-hour radius of serving the African-American community. It later on expanded to a larger facility that in 1955 still stayed in the same vicinity where the present where the Burrellmore Hospital used to be, and that facility is still standing today. That facility, Burrellmore Hospital, also created the first African-American nursing Corps that was here. That group became accredited in 1920 by the state of Virginia, and later on, the Nursing Corps in 1955 produced a program that was accepted by Roanoke City Public Schools, and they stayed in existence as a teaching nursing program, up until the late 70s, early 1980s.
And that was fully integrated.
It's fully integrated in the 60s and 70s. It became fully integrated. Even as part as the late 50s, it began to also teach both white and black.
We're just about out of time. I know we have to go pretty quick. I could stay all day here. Before I go, there was one thing here, a must-do, must-see. What is closest to your heart?
I would say the new exhibit, Indivisible. But I'd also tie in the tobacco people, because the tobacco people, as we start putting this together, there was so much information that we knew was there, but we couldn't find and we couldn't have.
And so just really quick overview, starts with blacks as slaves harvesting tobacco, becoming sharecroppers, and then owning their own land and their own tobacco operations even today, correct?
Correct. You do that better than I do. But yes, that is the theme of what is in the Harrison Museum.
Okay.
And it shows that process. And the irony of it is that if we think about how in slavery tobacco was produced here, and we've advanced to the point now where we have machinery doing it, but in Africa and in Brazil, a lot of it is still being done by hand.
Oh, really?
A lot of it is still being produced and carried to the market, similar in the carts that we used to use before. And you can see in the photographs the emphasis of people still using animals to carry that tobacco to the market. And then the Indivisible exhibit still shows the relationship of the Native American and the African American over the years, and how those relationships kindred to the point where there are families today that have descendants who were either slaves or Indians, Native American Indians, in their blood. And some of the things that happened and advanced over the years, all the way through the point where we have a diary of information done on a monitor showing individuals who have young adults who have heritage in their families, and really, until this was produced, really didn't speak of it.
But that heritage is being delineated and revealed.
Right, and spoken of, where normally that's not happened.
Interesting. Charles Prize, thank you so much. What a wonderful treat today.
Well, thank you for coming, and I'm glad you took the time to come in here.
Me too. We've been speaking with Charles Prize, Board President at the Harrison Museum of African American Culture. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charles Prize, President of the Harrison Museum of African American Culture in downtown Roanoke, Virginia. For further information, log on to harrisonmuseum.com.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.